see the recipe, and I'm not a good cook. I can grill pretty decent, and I can smoke, not that kind of smoking, but I can smoke meat pretty good, things like that. I guess all the manly stuff, but again, I don't know that it's not manly to be able to actually cook in the kitchen, but I guess the only thing I can fancy is a frozen pizza. I can read the back of the box pretty easy, so if she's ever been out of town, frozen pizza was going to be on the menu. And I can whip up a mean peanut butter and jelly sandwich and things like that. So, but I can, again, read the back of the box, preheat the oven, all that kind of stuff, and you just follow the recipe. But she has some extensive recipes. And so today we had for lunch, I guess it was her homemade, is that pot pie? Is that what that would be considered? Chicken pie? But anyway, so I did see a can of cream of mushroom soup on the counter, so I think that was involved. Chicken cut up in little squares and boiled eggs. I can boil an egg, I guess. And she sliced that. And then some type of concoction she put to make the flour rise to the top and had a crust on it. And oh my goodness. And I told her the reason I had to have three platefuls today was because she dipped my first plate and she was skimping a little bit. It wasn't a very full plate, but the second and the third one I dipped myself, and so I made sure. But anyway, it was excellent. And so I don't know if she has a recipe or she just does it by heart, things like that. She is an excellent cook and so forth. But anyway, happiness is something that we all, I would think, want, and to be happy and so forth. And so God has a prescription or a recipe here that if we'll do or behave these, I hate to say the word nine, but these nine different verses we're going to look at tonight, He promises us we can be happy. And He didn't say everything would be like a bed of roses or everything would work out perfectly, things like that. But if we have this viewpoint and we have these principles that we live by, we can be happy. And we'll have to just actually trust Him in certain situations. And if we do that, we can still be happy. So God's recipe for happiness, let's go to Psalm 144. Psalm 144, and there'll be a couple in Psalms, there'll be a couple in Proverbs, and then we'll jump around the Bible other places too, but we'll look at these nine ingredients to be happy. And the first one is in Psalm 144, verse 15, and it says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." And so again, if you want to be happy, you're going to have to make Jesus the Lord. Now we've heard the phrase, make Jesus Lord of your life. And there have been some people that have kind of tried to squish that in or make that part of salvation. And it did not say, for whosoever shall make Jesus Lord of your life shall be saved. It just said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. After you realize you're a sinner, after you realize there's a payment, and Jesus paid it, then you get saved. That's how you get saved. Now, if you want to be happy, you're going to have to make Jesus Lord of your life. And I've heard a preacher say this before, you know, Jesus was Lord whether you made Him Lord or not. All right, so that's not part of salvation. But it is part of happiness. If He's in charge, if He's in control, He gets the final yea or nay. That is the way. That's where to be the happiest. And it says here, if you're in this sort, if you're that people, and you're in such a case where you've basically said, God, thank You for saving me. I am saved. I am a Christian. But I am going to just let You be Lord. You're going to be in charge. You get the veto power in my life. You get the yay or nay in my life. And that is the happiest place that we can be. A lot of people, obviously, they look for it. And if they have this maybe certain figure, if I could get this much money in my bank account, then I would be happy. So in other words, what they've done, they've made money the most important. Then they say, well, you know, I'm going to start on the ground floor. And I'm going to work my way up and things like this. And if I could reach this position in this company, if I could have this office in the company, then I would be happy. They've made that the main goal. And then there's people out that say, if I could date this person, or if I could marry this person, or if I could be like this person, or if I could meet this person, they've made that person the most important. And then there's other people that maybe have made their hobby the most important. There's people that have made their self the most important. But that's not the recipe. If you made yourself the most important and you satisfied yourself, you probably still wouldn't be happy. There would be that emptiness. If you reached that position or you got that job or you met that person, sometimes we've thought something was going to be so spectacular and we finally got there and it was like, maybe somebody said, man, you've got to eat at this restaurant. It's got the best, and they filled in the blanks. And you thought about it for weeks. Your mouth had that saliva thing going on every time you thought about it. And you got there and you're like, it's kind of a letdown. So any of those things that the world or ourself or even the devil or this society would say, this is what's going to make you happy. I got to have it. And everything else takes a back seat to it. And you finally get it. It's not really happiness. But if you put the Lord where He's supposed to be, obviously by being in church on Sunday, that's what you're doing. By living and talking and acting and looking like a Christian, you're saying, okay, I want to please the Lord. That's where you're going to be happy. So we see here there is a prescription, there is a recipe for happiness, and we're going to look at 9 of them. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll continue. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I just ask you to help me just get out of the way. Lord, you speak through me, fill me your Holy Spirit, and Lord, help us look at these 9 points tonight. And say, okay, am I doing that one? Am I not doing this one? Let me add this one. Let me take that one out. Things like that. Lord, we ought to all want to be happy. In Jesus' name, amen. So number one, again, and we have this written down. I don't know where I found this. Don't know if I heard this, whatever. I have seen all these verses before. But it is kind of the points are kind of like a recipe would be. So number one, one daily helping of hope. One daily helping of hope, Psalm 146:5. And you can write these down and I'll read them to you, or you can flip there and see them if you want. But if we're saying, okay, I got a recipe here I'm going to follow, and it's going to bring happiness. So number one, one daily helping of hope. And we ought to all hope. I've heard arguments about this, people that say that they're atheists and people that say that they don't believe in God and things like that. And they say that those of us that believe in Him are foolish, all that kind of stuff. And we're like, well, I hope. Again, we have that in the Bible. Psalm 146:5, it says here, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And so we have to put our hope. Our hope is basically is to cherish a desire with anticipation. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. We ought to watch and pray. Anticipate. The Bible says, you need to make sure you're doing what God wants you to do. When He comes back, He finds you so doing. He finds you living the life that He wants you to do. So I hope in Jesus. I don't hope in myself. I don't hope in money. I definitely don't hope in my president. amen. I don't. My hope is not in that. Okay. My hope is in God. My hope is in the Lord, and so forth. So I hope. He says He's coming. I hope He comes soon. And the Bible even says, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come." And as the day gets worse and worse, like the Bible says, it's going to, things like that. We have that hope that He's coming. Now, a person, maybe a school age person that has an exam, let's say tomorrow, and they haven't cracked a book all weekend. All right? That's not a good place to be. You're probably not happy with yourself. You're definitely not happy that you have an exam tomorrow, and you're probably not going to do very good. So you are probably hoping that Jesus does return tonight. So therefore, that test is mute and void. Maybe we have that job that we're not looking forward to that we have to do tomorrow. We might hope that He's coming. So we can hope He's coming. And in our hope also, we could be in His, even if He doesn't come, my hope is in Him controlling everything. Yes, we could say, oh my goodness, look at the shape of this world. Look at the shape of, the finances of America and the political situation of America. And look at the sin that's in America, things like that. But my hope is not in that. My hope is in Him. He's still in control. He, none of that slipped up on Him. He's not surprised by that. He's still in control. So my hope, if I'm going to be happy, I'm hoping in Him. I hope He returns. But then I also hope that He controls everything until He gets back. But then I also have a hope in this, of not only of His coming and His controlling, but of His conviction. My hope is that if I get out of line a little bit And he's very good at this. Conviction. All right? You convict me, Lord. Help me get right back in line. And again, if you take one step out of God's will, it's a lot easier to get right back in if that conviction and you're obedient to it. But you get 10, 15 steps out of God's will, you got a mess. And there's definitely not going to be happiness there. So my hope is in His coming. My hope is in His controlling everything. My hope is in His conviction and help me get better. And then my hope is in His conversion. Until He comes, I want to be a part of seeing people converted. I want to see, be a part of people coming to church, being saved, on visitation. I want to see that. Why? Because the Bible talks about that when that last person, and we don't know when it is, but when that last person gets saved, we're going to be called out. So my hope is in that. So my hope is not myself, my money, my president, my mind, my intellect, my figuring it out. All my hope is in the Lord. So if you want to be happy, you need one daily helping of hope. And it ought to all be in the Lord. Number two, Job 5:17. Job 5:17. Again, you can flip over and look, or I'll read it to you. Second ingredient of whipping up some happiness here. Number two is this. One cup of correction. One cup of correction. Nobody likes it. If somebody tells you, you know, you're not thinking right, there's a little bit inside of you that, you know, bucks up a little bit. You're wrong. We don't like that. And so sometimes if you, you know, some of you cooks out there, you know, it'll say a quarter cup of this or a pinch or a dash of this, and you're like looking at it like, I wonder what that tastes like. And you put it in there and you, it's nasty. All right. So by itself, it would be horrible. You know, I'm trying to think of something, but I don't do all that. There may be some ingredient that makes stuff taste awesome, but by itself is horrible. Flour. All right. It may look like sugar a little bit. I guess it's white, but it's different consistency. But you grab you a palm full of flour and throw it in, it's going to be nasty. But when that flour is in that recipe and that stuff rises to the top on top of that peach cobbler, all right, or that blackberry cobbler, it's good then. So we see here, correction. How could correction make me happy? We need a little bit, a cup full of correction. Job 5:17 says this, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty." So if He corrects you, what brings me happiness immediately when I feel that conviction in my heart is you're saved. You're saved. You know, because if I could say that word and no bad feeling comes in, I might not be saved. If I could think that thought and no bad conviction feeling comes in, I might not be saved. But I know without a doubt that when I have that thought or when I say that word or when I respond in the wrong way and the Holy Spirit says, you shouldn't have done that, take that medicine. Right now, again, I know my allergies are like, all right, freaked out and so forth. So I have to have my little squirt up each nostril. My Zyrtec, or I'd be up here going, and my eyes would be running like crazy, and worse than they are. So we see, happy is the man whom God correcteth. So again, sometimes that ingredient doesn't taste good by itself, but you put it in there and it will bring happiness. And it says right here in the Bible, one cup of correction, I'm saved, I'm loved, I'm important. That will bring happiness. Number three, we saw a helping of hope and one cup of correction. Now number three, we'll go to Proverbs 3:13. And the ingredient here is a will for wisdom. A will for wisdom. My will, I want to know. I want to be in the know. Nobody likes to be left out. Nobody likes seeing two or three people over in the corner and they're whispering, but they keep looking at you. What are they talking about? All right, they're probably not talking about you, but you know you're convinced yourself as they're trashing you. But anyway, everybody likes to be in the know. Of course, we need to know wisdom, and wisdom is of God. Proverbs 3:13 says this: "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." And so we need to know God's word, and that'll bring us wisdom. We saw that a little bit this morning. And we saw some of this morning, that the Scripture is good and powerful and wise to make, or able to make us wise in certain areas. So we ought to know God's Word. And then that understanding is knowing why. Now, again, I know there's some controversy about this. There's some people, I want to know why this took place. And where the Bible explains that, there's some things that we won't know why. And His ways are higher than our ways. His mind's higher than our way, higher than our mind. And there's some things that belong to God. They're the mysteries of God that we'll never figure out. But we have here in Proverbs, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and getteth understanding. In other words, I understand why this took place. We just talked about correction, conviction. I know why that takes place is because I'm the Son of God. I'm a child of God. And when I step out of His will, I get some correction. I feel that. So I understand. I know why. And so again, when we go through life and certain things that, you know, we're seeking wisdom, we're seeking God, we're seeking to know His will, and certain things happen into our life, and we see it kind of direct us. And so again, that's why a lot of people, we're looking at a recipe. Why did it call for this? That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and I'm not putting that in there. Then it might not rise. You know, you pull your cake out and it's a pancake, not a fluffy cake. All right. Well, I wonder why it did that. If you didn't follow the instruction, you're not going to get the results. And so, same thing here. We're seeking wisdom, and we pray and ask God for wisdom, things like that, and we live life long enough, and we get understanding. Ah, I understand. And again, I've shared with you before about my brother being taken from us. Again, I don't like that, but I understand that all things work together for good. They weren't good, but they worked together for good. So when we want wisdom, and we want it bad enough that we seek God's will, and we seek His way, and we trust Him with it, and we get, okay, I understand. I don't know why, and I don't know that I would have chosen that, but if this is what God wants, I understand that. So same thing, when you're reading that recipe, why in the world would they want a half of this? Well, that's what the recipe calls, and we put it in there. We're trusting God. We're wanting happiness. Number four, a fueling of fear. A fueling of fear. Psalm 128, 1 and 2. A fueling of fear. We need some fear. Now the devil tries to tell you this type of fear, like scared to death of. You know, we're on edge, like, oh no, God's going to squish me. He's going to take the breath out of my nostrils and things like that. And he wants us to live in that type of fear. No, that's not the type of fear we're talking about. Okay, Psalm. Now he could do that. We ought to have that. But what we see here, the Bible says in Psalm 128, 1 and 2, it says here, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Blessed is another way of saying happy. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Verse 2 says this, for thou shalt eat the labor. Do whatever you have to do. Follow the prescription. Follow the recipe. And it says here, thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So when we fear the Lord, no. So what I like to call it, not a scared, chew my fingernails, live on edge, can't hardly breathe fear. No. What I like to think of this as a holy reverence or a respect. That's what we need for God. A holy reverence and a respect. Not scared. God, again, that's the way, you know, a parent ought to have his kid, not to be scared of them, but to have respect for. If dad says that you do that one more time and there's going to be consequences, not but dad's a man of his word. And if I do that, there's going to be consequences. So I'm not going to do it. So same thing here. I look at the Word of God and God says, you know, if you live this way, there's going to be consequences. And I don't want to I'm so scared of God. No, a holy reverence and respect. Have some fear. So add some fear to your recipe of happiness. Number five, some suffering. Ooh. Correction, fear. I thought we were talking about being happy. I gotta have some fear. But then it says here's some suffering. Add in a dash of this or a little pinch of suffering. 1 Peter 3:14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. So sometimes we're going to suffer if we're going to try to live a Christian life and we want to be happy. God's going to put a little suffering in there. Sometimes the suffering is in there and we're happy because the suffering is subsided. You go to the doctor because you're sick and they say, take this medicine. And I've taken some of those medicine where, you know, when I was a child, my mom almost had to hold my nose for it to go down because it tasted horrible. You know, nowadays they've come up with good tasting medicine. And the kid's like, give me the whole bottle. But anyway, sometimes you taste it and it's nasty, but you need it. So same thing here. I don't understand, but it says right here in the Bible, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. So in other words, you're not suffering because of something you did that was not right and you're getting punished for it, you're suffering for it. But if you're trying your best to do what God wants you to do, you've made Him Lord, you're saying, I want to please You in everything I do, and then you suffer for it at your job, or you suffer for it because of your relatives, or you suffer it because of your neighborhood, things like that, or you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And so again, I told you about being spat upon in my face. And the Holy Spirit brought, hey, they spat on Jesus. You're in good company. That brings, again, I had to suffer, but it brings you happiness when you're a part of God's will. Number six. We'll go to Proverbs 29:18. And here's another, again, we're following the recipe. All these by itself might taste horrible. All this self by itself may be difficult, but you put it all together, it's going to bring a recipe of happiness. Here's an output of obedience. An output of obedience. And the recipe might say, preheat the oven to this and cook it for this long. Well, that's too long. I'm hungry now. All right? It says 30 minutes, but I'm going to cook it 3 minutes. Okay, you're going to have a slop mess. It's not going to have come together. It's not going to have produced what the recipe says. So we have to have an output of obedience. Well, I don't understand that, so I'm just going to not do it. I don't agree with it, so I'm just not going to do it. That's not going to bring you happiness. If you're obedient, you have to put out some obedience, and you're going to be happy. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So, of course, I've heard lots of sermons out of that where there's no vision, the people perish. We see missions works use that slogan. We see churches use that slogan. And it is, we need to have a vision. I envision these pews filled. I envision that wall being gone and more pews and those pews being filled. I envision that. I envision that other building sitting out there and we have Sunday school classes. All that. I envision that. And so why? Because I don't want people to perish. I want as many people to get saved as possible and things like that. But I get that. But just as important as that and as exciting as that is, the next line says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So I'm all for excitement and I'm all for growing and I'm all for you know, building and things like that. But I'm just as excited about, hey, let's just do what the Bible says. Those of us that are here right now, let's do what the Bible says. An output of obedience is part of the recipe of being happy. Again, 25 years of this church being in existence, looking for the next 25, and what God will do in that. Again, great. But day by day, let's just obey. Tomorrow, obey. The next day, obey. And God will be pleased with us, and we'll be happy in being obedient. So add some obedience to your recipe of happiness. Number seven. Proverbs 16:20, and this recipe ingredient is this, a ton of trust. A ton of trust. Some recipes say, we want a pound of this, and you're like, a pound? What in the world? All right, you got to do it. If it says a pound, it means a pound. I only got a quarter of a pound. That'll be all right. It's not going to come out right. If it says a ton, you're going to have a ton of trust. Because there are certain things that's going to be, come up in your life and you're going to go through and you're not going to understand it. Just have a ton of trust. God knows what's going on. he knows this is best, and I'm just going to trust him. And you're thinking, oh, I'm about out of trust. No, you need to bring in a ton more and trust him. Proverbs 16:20 says this, he that handleth the matter wisely. And the best way to handle any matter is just give it to God. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Don't try to man up or woman up. Don't try to outlast. No. Just give it to God. He's gonna handle it way better. So he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. Whoso trusteth the Lord, happy is he. All of you came in tonight, and I watched because I knew this point was coming. None of you in here looked at the pew. None of you like grabbed a hold of it, shook it. You know, nobody put one foot on it and then put it off. Y'all came in, and you know what you just did? You just plopped her down. You trusted that pew to hold you up. And you've trusted it ever since you've been coming here. And it has done it. So it has proven to you, I got you. And so you don't even think about it. You just come in, boom. And you might have to have somebody to grab you and help you up before we leave. But you trust in that pew. And that's exactly what he's saying. God's like, I've got you. You're not going to slip through the cracks. You're not going to be caught out like, oh no, I didn't mean for him or her to be in that. No. If you handle it wisely and you find good, whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. He wants you to trust him. So we see seven so far, seven ingredients to bring happiness. And some of them don't make sense. Some of them by themselves would be horrible. But you put them all together and that recipe is going to bring out that wonderful happiness. Number eight, Proverbs 14:21. Proverbs 14:21 says this, a regular investment in others. A regular investment of others. There's some recipes that say, okay, you start with this, and then once you start stirring or congealing or, you know, what are those things called that beat it up, all that kind of stuff, or chop it, food processor, you know, as you're doing it, add a little bit more, and add a little bit more, and add a little bit more, and then there's just a little bit more. And I don't get it. Why can't I just put the whole thing in there at one time? No. The recipe says a little bit, keep working, a little bit, keep working, a little bit. That's what this is saying. A regular investment of others is going to bring you happiness. Going out door knocking and seeing people get saved, that brings me happiness. Following up on a visit and the person actually coming the next Sunday, that brings me happiness. Praying for a person and God answering their prayer, that brings me happiness. A regular investment of others will bring you happiness. Proverbs 14:21. He that despises his neighbor sinneth. And it's easy sometimes. They'll get on your last nerve. Some of you have really special neighbors. In other words, you know, they get out there with scissors and they're clipping their yard and they're looking at your yard like, oh, I wish they'd take care of it. Or, you know, that fence row right there, I think that third post is a little bit on my property line. Well, it says right here, he that despises his neighbor, but he deserves despising. Anyway, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Of course, a person's lost them on their way to hell. Poor person, poor sinner. And so we ought to give them the gospel. If they're going through a certain situation, a loss of a loved one or a loss of a job or a loss of things like that, let's have mercy on them. And if they do get on your last nerve, realize God put you there for a reason. Hey, for such a time as this, you might pray that they move, or you might be looking for a new house. But anyway, we've had those kind of neighbors. Oh my goodness. I mean, we had neighbors back in the day that would call, you know, anybody that they could call on us. And, you know, we were at a house, and then they built a subdivision behind it. We were there. What they call that, eminent domain or whatever, I'm not sure. We were there first and they built a subdivision behind us. And then they came to my dad and said, you know, since you're at the beginning of the subdivision, even though you weren't a part of the subdivision, you have to abide by our rules. And my dad was like, And they're like, you have to have a fence. And again, this was before we were in church. So my dad went and got about 40 of those 55-gallon barrels. You know, some of them are orange, blue, and yellow, and rust, and black. And he lined them up across the back there and put some 2x4s there. There's your fence, okay? But again, that was not Christian. This was before we were saved. Oh my goodness. The neighborhood watch, you know, came and had a talk with him and all this, that, and other. Oh my goodness. It was fun. But regular investment. It says here, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that have mercy on the poor, happy is he. So we have to have mercy on the poor. Add a little bit of that regular investment in others. And number 9, before we get to the conclusion, a consistency of a clear conscience. A consistency. Again, that's a cooking word. You need to have this consistency. That means you got to beat it for this long, or stir it for this long, or you know, shake it and sift it for this long, because you're looking for that consistency. So we see a consistency of a clear conscience. Romans 14:22. Hast thou faith? Question mark. Do you trust in God? Do you have faith in Him? Have it to thyself before God. So God wants to see that you have faith. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he hath allowed, or which he alloweth. So we have to have faith in God. And if we have faith in God, it says here, happy is he that condemneth not himself. So we have to have that clear conscience. We can talk a good game, but we know the real us. And so if we're talking the good game at church, but then we still have that secret sin or that thing that we haven't surrendered to the Lord, it's that hidden sin, and that's not going to be a clear conscience. So in other words, that's when we have to fake smile. That's when we have to act like we're happy. But if you're the best of your ability, 100% right with God, nothing greater. So you put all these things together, and then you take that and you follow that ingredients to the T. Cooked it for how long it said, added even the weird stuff, the amount that it said, the consistency thing, and then you get that cake out or you get that meal out and you take that first bite and it's like heaven in your mouth. Well, it was worth it. I didn't understand that recipe. I didn't even agree with that recipe. But I did what it said, and lo and behold, boom, there is the unbelievable cake or the unbelievable casserole, the unbelievable dessert. Who would have thought it? So that's what we're talking about. If we do all these things, we can have that. And so, happy is the person that condemneth not himself. There's nothing that you can condemn yourself about. You know yourself better than anybody, even your wife, even your husband, even your kids. You know yourself. But if you cannot condemn yourself, you're going to be happy. And so what we have to do is kind of like what we talked about this morning. The Holy Scriptures is wise to make us unto salvation. If you know you're saved, you understand the fact that, you know, every sin that I committed from the day I was born till I was 10 years old, that day I got saved, gone. Under the blood, behind God's back, in the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is the west, I grasp that. My conscience is clear. But from that day till now, I've probably sinned more since than those first 10 years. But praise God for 1 John 1:9. Praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And if I immediately go to those knees and say, God, 1 John 1:9, that. He says He does. And that same forgiveness that we felt on the day that we got saved, we can feel it immediately. And we can feel it immediately. Bad thought? Sorry, God, forgive me for that. Now, not until you can just have your next bad thought. No, do your best. Keep that conscience clear. And when we do that, and we can't condemn ourselves, we're going to be happy. No greater feeling than forgiven. I mean, it's just awesome. I deserve hell. And no doubt about it. But I'm forgiven. You know, again, you've seen those bumper stickers, not perfect, just forgiven. I didn't earn it. I didn't turn over enough new leaves to earn salvation. I just asked God for it, and He gave it to me. Again, I've goofed many times, even today. But immediately, when the Holy Spirit brought it to my mind, I asked God to forgive me, and I'm forgiven. It's under the blood. Great feeling. That brings me happiness. My wife has a song. I'm trying to talk her into singing it. She wrote, and that's what it's called, Forgiven. unbelievable. Forgiveness is awesome. And, you know, if you have forgiveness and you forgive yourself, if God forgave you, you can forgive yourself. But you don't understand. I did this, this, and this. Again, if God forgave you for it, forgive yourself. And you can be happy. So that you got to follow the recipe to get the best results. John 13, 17 says this, "If ye know these things, happy are ye that do them." Do what? Add a helping of hope. Take a cup of correction. Have a will for wisdom. A fueling of fear. Add some suffering in there. A little output of obedience. A ton of trust. Just keep putting it in there. A regular investment in others. And that consistency of a clear conscience. If you know these things, happy are ye that do them. We've all said this, "I know better." I know I've said it. I know better than that. Trying to take a shortcut. Ugh. That's one thing I do not like doing is redoing stuff. Yeah. I know better. And then we've all said this, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Yeah. I shoulda, I coulda, and I woulda, but you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And I wish I have, or wish I had, have, or we can just follow the ingredients and come up with that. So add these nine things in your life and you're going to be happy. Like I was, I guess, saying inside the sermon there, some of it you won't understand. Some of it you don't even agree with. Some of it by itself will be horrible. But you put it all together, perfect recipe for happiness. And I want to be happy. Obviously, that joy and the happiness, we'll talk about that another time. And there is a difference. But you can have both. And people tell me all the time that, you know, you are generally a happy person. It's not by accident. Just following the recipe. And that's the way you're going to get the end result. Happy, you got to follow the ingredients. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Derek will come. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I know that I want to be happy. And I believe everybody would have that opinion. I want to be happy. So, of course, we looked in your word tonight and we saw these nine places where the Bible says you can be happy. We might not understand it. We might not agree with it. We might not have chosen to do that. But your word says if we'll do those things, happy is he, if we know these things. Let's all stand. Altar is open. If you'd like to come pray.